word of our God on this occasion, the death of a loved one, a congregation member, family and friend to us. We read in Psalm 116 about a saint who had experienced a near experience with death and expressed their faith about God's will and protection of their soul. And I'll read a couple of verses earlier in that psalm to give you the way in which this psalm progresses, and we'll focus on verse 15. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our Lord is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, O Lord, my eyes from tears and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then at verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. May God bless the reading of His gospel to us today. Let us pray. Oh Father, we do ask that You would teach us today. Teach us Your will and Your wisdom and Your facts about death and life and about the meaning of our life and of our death. We acknowledge that we live in darkness if You do not show us the light. And so we come to Your word and we pray that You give us faith in Christ who is the light of the world. Comfort us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, friends and family and congregation members, whenever someone passes away, we're forced to express what we believe about death. What do you believe about death? How do you personally feel about death? Is death a painful future for all of us? Is it a cause for sadness and tears? Is death meaningless? Some would say. Is death meaningful? Is death unfair? Is death evil? Is it a necessary evil to get somewhere better? God has an opinion about death for us to consider today. And of course, God's opinion is much more than an opinion. It is fact. God's facts are things that we often call doctrines, things that we believe because God says so. And what must we believe today because God says so? We must believe that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We must believe that the Christian's death is precious in His sight. Christian's death is precious in God's sight. That's the doctrine, that's the fact of God's word for us today. And as we look at that promise, we'll want to understand first, who is it that receives this promise? And then secondly, what is the promise all about? And then lastly, how will you and I respond to this promise? The Christian's death is precious in God's sight. Who is it that receives this promise? Well, our text says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Saints are those who receive this promise. Now, who is a saint? The Bible tells us that every Christian is a saint, not just some super spiritual Christians who lived a long time ago. But in the New Testament, entire books of the Bible are addressed to Christians, and it says that all of the saints who are there, who live in this or that town, are receiving this letter. All of the Christians there are called saints. In the Old Testament as well, it is the same. In Psalm 97, for example, we're told in verse 10 that those who love the Lord must hate evil, for He preserves the soul of His saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. The saints there are those people who are expected to love the Lord and hate evil. Every Christian is expected to love the Lord and to hate evil. Every Christian is called a saint. So if you're a Christian today, you can leave this place with comfort. Do you understand? God thinks very highly of you. He says, not I or not someone else, God says, you are a saint. You are a saint. He says your life and your death are precious in His sight. Now I could tell stories to you, and you could tell many more, I'm sure, about Ruth that would help us to conclude that she is a saint. I could think of a day when she told me that her big brother had made a huge batch of applesauce and the kitchen was a mess, and she went over and cleaned it all up. And that was just one of many examples we could think of her service and love for others, her family and her friends and those whom she treated as if they were family. All of those wonderful memories are wonderful, but they do not make her a saint. They describe maybe the way a person lives because they are a saint, because God's grace has been worked in their life. But a person is a saint not because of our obedience to God or however faithful we have been. We are saved by grace alone. God makes us a saint. God calls us a saint by His love alone. And being a saint does not mean everything is perfect in our life, that there is never trouble or danger, or working against and fighting against sin. This psalm that tells us about this precious promise was written in a time when the person knew about trouble and sorrow and had just faced even death itself. And earlier in the psalm, he even admits in verse 10 and 11 that though he had faith, he had spoken hastily something that was not true. And so a saint can sin, and yet a saint can also and is forgiven by our Savior. You see, God does not allow sin to separate His saints from God and from His love for us. You see, God saves us completely. He does not leave it up to us to keep on the Christian path and stay saints, but He does it all. Psalm 37, verse 28 promises this: the Lord loves justice and He does not forsake His saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. You see, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, but what does that mean for those who are not God's saints? We're not told that their death is precious. This world is as close as they will ever get to God's goodness and blessing. For after this life, they experience their just reward for their sin. And their death is not precious then. And so God calls us to make certain that we know what it is to be a saint, and that we pray to Him that He would forgive us and call us His saints today. Well, what does the promise say? We know who receives it, God's saints. What does it say? It says the Christian's death is precious to God. Now, the word translated precious here is a very important word in the Bible. Other things that are called by this precious word are things like wisdom, which is called more precious than jewels in the book of Proverbs. The steadfast love of God is called precious. And not only are things precious and ideas precious, but people are called precious. And their relationships with others and with God are called precious. God protects and delivers His people from oppression because He values even their blood and their life, says Psalm 72, verse 14. Human life is so precious to God that humans cannot pay enough money to keep their life. Remember, we have sinned and we owe an eternity of punishment to God's fair justice because of our sin. We simply cannot be good enough. We do not have enough money to buy the value of our life. And yet God knows how precious we are, and so He paid that precious price by sending His own Son, who paid the precious price of His own life for us. He redeems us, as Isaiah 43 tells us, "Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you." God views your life precious, and He honors His love for you by buying your life and mine, the life of His own Son. We have to ask and wonder, though, how can God really promise that death is precious in His sight? Death is not a pleasant thing. It's not the thing we would prefer to think about today. It's not something we would normally think of as precious when we get a phone call and hear about a loved one who is near the end and sit there with them. Precious is not the word that comes to mind. And we know even that God did not create man so that he would die, but He created him so that he would live forever with Him in paradise. And yet God can still say this fact, death is precious, because He's in control of death. He knows His plans for each person that belongs to Him. He knows what He's going to do with us and for us after our death. He knows what's coming, and He can call it precious. He knows the inheritance He's about to shower upon His saints when they pass from this life into the next. And notice how our passage tells us that death happens in the sight of the Lord. Nothing is hidden from God. He knows everything. His eyes are everywhere. He is almighty. He is precious. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, "How precious are your thoughts, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I could count them up, they would be more in number than the sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with you." See, God can make this promise about the Christian's death because He's already fulfilled the promise in Christ's death. Your death is precious in God's sight because Christ's death was precious in God's sight. We're in Psalm 116, but Psalm 16 also says some very similar things and is used in the New Testament to apply to Jesus Himself. And in Psalm 16, we read there in verse 9 and 10 that the Christian can say, "My heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh can rest in hope. For the Lord will not leave my soul in Sheol or in the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Jesus was not allowed to stay in the grave and to see corruption. His death was precious in God's sight. After He died, 3 days later, He rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is alive right now on the throne of the universe as King And he declares that your death and mine is precious in his sight. Jesus sees to it that the death of every one of God's chosen people is precious, valued, meaningful, not meaningless, not evil and not necessary evils, but precious in God's sight. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 declares that you and I, all who are saints, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, so that you and I would proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained God's mercy. And so we have to ask, how? How will you respond to this promise that your death is precious in God's sight if you belong to Jesus? How will you respond to the promise as you face the certain future of your own death? How will you respond to that promise? Or as you face the reality of the death of a loved one and your separation from them that tears a hole in your heart, how do you face that when you remember this doctrine, the Christian's death is precious in the sight of the Lord? You see, God's view of death gives us an enormous comfort, doesn't it? If we believe and share God's perspective today, we are greatly comforted. You see, there is a meaning to life. So many people wander around this world without a plan for their day, for their life. They are lost and without hope. And yet God tells us there's meaning to our lives and there's also meaning to our death. You see, we are not like animals that when we grow old and incapacitated, we can be put down or put to sleep. We still have value. Our death is precious in God's sight. As humans, we are created in God's image. We have dignity and value until the very end, even if we can't talk or communicate to others like we used to. And this doctrine ought to shape what we do for our loved ones or for ourselves as we face end-of-life decisions or decisions about health care or whatever the situation may be. We remember that God says we're still humans, and precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Because death is precious, you and I have responded at least this much. We're here at a funeral. Because death is precious, we take note of it. And we come to worship God, the God of life, on such an occasion. Now the world, for the most part, does not know what we're doing today. They don't mark the end of Ruth's life. No president or king, as best I can recognize, is here in attendance at this funeral today. No medals are going to be awarded. No flags are flown at half staff. The world takes very little notice. But God notices. God says, precious in my sight is the death of my child. Precious. Precious. Angelic armies and choirs sing and shout for joy when His people enter eternal rest. Remember this promise pronounced in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. See, the Christian can face death without fear, for we worship a Savior who's already been there. He died, but He rose again. He's conquered that enemy, and through faith in Him, we are more than conquerors over death. And so God calls you and I today to ask, is my death going to be precious in the sight of the Lord. This is God's promise. The Christian's death is precious in His sight. Is my death going to be precious? Are you a saint? Do you know the person who makes your death precious? Do you know Christ? Who do you think He is? What role does He play in your birthday as well as your death day? Revelation 1 verse 18 answers, Jesus says, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Jesus holds the day of your life and your death in His hand. The psalmist has great confidence in God's promise. He says, I can live because even my death is precious in God's sight. And the worst the world can do to me, the worst the devil can do to me is kill me. And even that doesn't mean they win. And so I'm not going to worry about when I'm going to die or how I'm going to die. I'm going to be busy serving and loving the Lord today, however I can, with however much strength I have, because even my death is precious in God's sight, and so is my life. That's what the psalmist is getting at in Psalm 116. The Christian belongs to Jesus in life and in death, and so we live in His sight, in life and in death. Our lives are precious to God, and so God is precious to us. And I close with how Psalm 116 begins in verse 1. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. He has turned His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, You who are the comfort of the sorrowful and support of the weary, You do not delight in grieving or afflicting the children of men. We pray that You would look down in tender love and compassion upon Your servants in this bereaved household whose joy has been turned to mourning. Be pleased to uphold, strengthen, and comfort them according to the multitude of Your mercies, so that they may not faint under Your fatherly chastening, but that they may find in You their strength and refuge. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.